Okay, the first meditation, the betrayal and arrest of Jesus. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he who spoke, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none.'" Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. To kind of set the stage for for this first part, which I feel an honor to be able to do that first part, you have Jesus who had just finished giving the disciples his last words. And he told them what was going to happen. And the disciples also got to hear what was the longest recorded prayer in the Bible of Jesus, as he prayed for himself, and then he prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for all believers, which is us, obviously. As I'm reading John's account, and I know that this is focused on John's account, not the other accounts, I started reading back, and I could see there seemed to be, you know, some slight differences, but it just seemed to me that that John's account shows a Jesus that's really unafraid, even though he knows what's getting ready to happen. He knows that what he's got to go through. He knows that for many hours he's going to be in pain. And I'm not sure that the disciples realize how quickly this is going to happen. So, so they head into the garden. Now, when you read this, this is obviously an historical story. But just what if for a second that God gave us a time machine and we could go back in time and we get to sit up in a tree and we're actually watching the dynamics of the expressions on the faces and the tones of the voice rather than just what we're able to read. Now think about that for a second. So they're in the garden and who shows up but Judas? Now, Judas has an opportunity over the next few minutes to change what he's done, but he doesn't take that opportunity. And it's kind of interesting that it's dark. They can obviously see a group of people coming in the distance because they've got lanterns and torches. And, you know, the disciples probably aren't sure who they are, but Jesus certainly knows who they are. And so They get to the garden, and who's the first person to walk up and speak but Jesus? Now think about this. These men are coming to take him away. I believe that their intent was to take all 13 of them. But yet, they apparently, I mean, they ask, you know, Jesus says, "Who are you looking for?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth," like they didn't know who he was. I mean, if they had never seen him, they certainly heard of him, and they knew exactly who he was because Judas was bringing them there. And when he answers them, obviously the response is they fall over. Now, why did they fall over? I mean, no doubt that there's power in his words, but there was always power in his words. I mean, every time he spoke, there was power in his words. So why this time? Could it be that many of them knew who Jesus was and they were just marching to orders because they, you know, the high priest said, we got to go get him. He's blaspheming everything. And they obviously, they had weapons. So why were they scared? Maybe they realized that that if everything that was said of him, even if they didn't witness, was true, then these weapons were going to be worthless against them. So just kind of a thought. But it would be great to sitting in that tree and be wondering, you know, while they're laying on the ground, Jesus has to ask a second time, you know, who do you seek? And they're probably getting up, dusting themselves off, trying to figure out what just happened. And then again, they say, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, well, I told you that I'm him. And let these others go so that that part of the prophecy could be fulfilled. So it's, and then another thought in one of my readings, I came across that when I am he was translated, it could have just as been easily been translated as I am, which was exactly what he said to Moses 1600 years earlier. So it could have been the force of saying I am that could have been a different, you know, inflection in his voice. I don't know what, but whatever it was, it knocked the soldiers over. It's almost like, you know, Jesus is trying to get arrested, but these guys are blowing it. I mean, they can't even arrest him. And so I can almost hear Jesus thinking, come on, guys, you got to focus. Get with the plan. I've got a resurrection to perform here, and I can't do it if you guys don't do your job. So anyway, you know, he asked, you know, let the other ones go. And the interesting thing is that just when he's ready to get arrested, Peter has to pull out his sword. And Peter cuts off his right ear. Now, do you think for a second that Peter was aiming for his right ear? Peter was wanting to split his skull wide open. But what would happen then? Then you now have a murder on your hands. And then they would have taken them. And so that would have messed up the prophecy. So I believe that Jesus supernaturally made him cut the ear off rather than the whole head so that everything could go according to plan. And it's almost like a comedy, the Three Stooges. Here's Jesus trying to sacrifice himself, and these guys can't even get their act together. And if you think about that, you know, he's just probably shaking his head. But you know what? It really wasn't a comedy. It was a very serious point in that you had our Creator, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Creator who created our human bodies so complicated and so intricately that we still can't understand how it functions the way it does. You had a Creator that humbled himself and came before his own creation and humbled himself and allowed them to literally beat him to death. And I would say that if you think about that, that is a phenomenal passion that he has for us. And I think the question that I would leave you with, do we have that same kind of passion for him?